Operator 5 studied the dismal front of the house intently. Lightless, bleak, it appeared to be deserted, yet 11 men had entered its darkness. Somewhere behind its entrance, a momentous meeting was already taking place. A secret conclave of the most dangerous destructionists the world had ever known.
"Tim, your job is still to watch," Operator 5 declared quietly. "Remember, if anything happens, if I shouldn't come back, you're to report to K-7 as soon as possible."
The tough Irish lad watched anxiously as Jimmy Christopher stepped forward. Operator 5 was about to cross the sidewalk when a gleam of light appeared at the corner. Headlamps shafted over the pavement, and he whirled back. He ducked into the shadow again, as a heavy glittering car slowed and drew to the opposite curb. A uniformed chauffeur slid from the wheel to open its door. From the tonneau, a huge man alighted, the high collar of a greatcoat shielding his face. He spoke a guttural word. He strode quickly to the entrance of the lightless house. His voice sounded low again. He passed inside. Operator 5 rose after a moment. As he slowly crossed the street, he saw that the chauffeur was standing beside the car, waiting. He approached it silently, noting that its curtains were drawn. Light flared as the chauffeur lit a cigarette, and in the gleam Jimmy Christopher saw that the man's face was huge and square, powerful with a brutal ugliness. Abruptly, Operator 5 stepped into the open. Instantly, the match flashed out, and the chauffeur whirled to face him. The uniformed man's hand slid significantly into his pocket. Operator 5's lips tightened. His lips curved wryly.
"Who," he asked quietly, "is your employer?"
The chauffeur sneered. He growled,
"Asking questions is dangerous."
"Refusing to answer them," Operator 5 answered calmly, "is even more dangerous to you. You are under arrest. You will—"
The big man lunged. His arm swung upward swiftly, and a weighty automatic glittered in the light. The weapon slashed like black lightning toward Operator 5's head. Jimmy Christopher sidestepped nimbly. One hand shot out to grip the chauffeur's tendoned wrist. The other, flat and stiff, darted sharp fingertips to the side of the uniformed man's neck. A burst of breath sounded. The big man stiffened, tottering on toe-tips. A swift wrench, and Jimmy Christopher tore the automatic from the man's numbed fingers. He whirled about, alertly glancing up and down the street, as the chauffeur fell. He gestured a quick signal to Tim Donovan to stay back, and he peered down grimly at the brute of a man on the sidewalk. His jiu-jitsu blow, Operator 5 knew, would keep the chauffeur unconscious for several hours. Jimmy Christopher opened a front door of the sedan. He lifted the chauffeur with ease and deposited him on the cushion. He slipped his hand into a pocket of the car and brought out an envelope containing its registration papers. He glanced at the name on the blank. Martin Shelton. And his eyes grew puzzled. Closing the door and slipping the papers into his pocket, he entered the tonneau of the sedan. A snap of a switch brought light. Installed on the seat was a dictaphone instrument, a wax cylinder on its drum. Black shreds upon the surface of the record indicated that it had been partly used. Jimmy Christopher quickly reset the needle and started the motor. Through the horn he heard a low voice speak gutturally, the voice of the man who had last entered the lightless house.
"Code H. Confidential instructions reaffirming previous orders. The outbreak of hostilities must in no way affect our policy. All payments must be made in gold before delivery. Governmental regulations will not deter us from adhering strictly to this demand. Only gold will be accepted, and gold received in payment is to be dispatched to my vaults immediately in accordance with previous instructions 5883.
A pause. Then again the low-toned voice resumed.
"Code V. Imperative orders to all plants. Secret mines must be inspected hourly. Our most trusted men must be kept constantly on duty at the contacts. Any attempt at seizure of any plant by any government is the signal for its destruction. Our control must remain supreme. The penalty for failure is death."
There the voice broke off. The recording was at an end. The arrival of the sedan at the secret address had stopped the dictation. Operator 5 removed the wax cylinder and slipped it into his pocket. His eyes narrowed and sharp. He glanced about the tonneau and suddenly bent forward.